Welcome back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons. I'm the founder of Unlock the Magic Coaching and Marketing and an energy healer. I'm joined today with Lisa Boat. Lisa is the founder of Liberated Menopause Consulting and Coaching. She is a passionate advocate for creating menopause-empowered workplaces with a background in education and a deep understanding of the systemic challenges faced by women during the menopausal transition. Lisa brings a unique blend of expertise to her work. As the host of the Transforming 45 podcast, she holds space for candid conversations about midlife transformation, exploring topics ranging from menopause to empty nest parenting. Lisa's mission is to empower women to navigate this significant life transition with confidence and reclaim their vitality in the workplace and beyond. Lisa is mom to two late teen boys, wife, and rolls with the girl gang of two very spicy Wheaton Terrier mixes. When she's not making menopause magic, you'll find her with her bare feet on the earth, hands in the dirt, or jumping in the lake. Lisa, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here today.
We vibe on magic.
We sure do.
It would appear.
Yeah. I know. I'm just reading what's behind you. For those who are listening, there's some beautiful art with lots of magic in it. And I was like, oh, this is the place for me. I feel good here.
I spent 20 years in the corporate workplace. My expertise by trade is marketing and all things digital cross-channel, which kind of beautifully came back into my work as an entrepreneur, guiding specifically women entrepreneurs who are not natural marketers or like that's the hard stuff. I just do really quick guidance. Like it's amazing what we can do in an hour. So that's what I have brought back into my world as it relates to marketing magic, because I get it. If you have not grown up in that world, also we're coming out of a place where it's always been about pain point marketing. Look what I have to offer and here's why it sucks that you don't have it. Not my vibe. It's like, here's what my unique brilliance is and I want to share it with the world. So that's what Unlock the Magic overall is about. The magic is that unique brilliance inside of you that no one else has. And because of the systems that I just read about in your bio, mm-hmm. I talk a lot about patriarchy, white supremacy, colonialism, capitalism. Like that's what we were born into and know today. So a lot mm-hmm. of the magic is our divine feminine asking us to create balance in the toxic masculine that we're navigating every day.
Yeah. I feel all of that. And well, you know, we'll get into this in the conversation, but absolutely that's part of my journey, right? Part of why I left education was because I could not stay in a system that was so deeply patriarchal. Like I experienced sexism in that system that I had read about in university and, you know, thought growing up a young woman in the 90s, where there was, you know, lots of movement again around female empowerment. And I thought we were sort of post-sexism. And then I went into the workplace and was like, what the actual?
You can say it, by the way, if you want to.
Okay. Yeah. What the actual fuck is happening here? And so I came to a point where I had to leave it. And now I'm working in this deeply feminine space and finding healing from that through this work that I'm doing now.
That's really beautiful. And a lot of times what I will talk with women like you about, and in my beautiful new orbit, I've been out, it'll be 2 years this month, actually. And I wouldn't have told you 2 years later, I'd be doing any of the things that I'm doing and feeling into these days. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite parts is that that's really the unlock. I was just forcing every single day in autopilot. I was literally forcing myself into this box. And I started to get the call when I was the women's employee resource group in my corporate life. And I was coaching hundreds of women. I was like, oh, that lights me up. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And now what I've understood after I had my spiritual awakening, well, and really it started happening when I was in corporate, which it was really fun because I was the one like walking around with my tampons in my hand. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not putting this up my sleeve. Like this is part of my natural biological function. So I was a little ragey. I was a little ragey about it. I wanted to push back and through my own healing and growth, I don't want to force my agenda onto anyone, but also, and I'm not responsible for your reaction to my truth. So duality.
Yeah. Duality. That can be a really challenging place to get to. And I was there as well. When you start seeing all of the oppression and the inequity, You can't unsee it and you can't look away. So, the last part of my career as an educator, I actually was a coach and provided professional development for other educators in the realm of supporting kids who speak multiple languages. So, I was doing tons of work with refugee families, new coming families. And the approach that I knew to research-based and to also felt right was that we ask kids to bring all aspects of themselves to the table. The language that you speak at home is a valuable language. We learn in all languages. It doesn't matter that it's not English. And that was a position that rubbed against everything. Yep. Patriarchy, white supremacy, all of it. And
Nailed
I
it.
was, a woman coming in with this position that was very different. And same, like I actually said to my vice principal in my last year, I was like, I know that this is my last year in the role. I am going to do everything in my power to make as much change as I possibly can. Sometimes you're going to like it, sometimes you're not, and I don't care. And I came to a similar realization as you. One, that kind of resistance is unsustainable, and it makes for unsustainable change when you leave as well. And so I had to really face some of the decisions that I made, although I don't regret them. I know that they made a difference for people, but I also know that I made things harder for myself and the people around me.
Same. My two leading archetypes is warrior and healer. Like, I want so badly to let everyone know how hard I want them to feel themselves. And I get pretty pissed that we live in a place that that's not possible yet. So it's like I want to burn it all down, but it makes sure everybody gets out safely. It's like,
Yeah, oh, I feel that. I feel all that energy. Yes.
right? And it's like, it's hard and beautifully in my luteal phase this week, my warrior is more at the forefront. It's hard to make friends sometimes or stay up with like neutral crowds because I don't wish to force my agenda. But at the same time, if you're saying things that vehemently oppose my core values, am I going to sit there and just, in the spirit of keeping the peace, be quiet? I don't know. So yeah, it's hard to make friends.
Yeah, I hear you on that, especially when we're in such, the way I describe it is like energetically spiky times,
Oh yes.
right? So when you're sitting in that like energetically spiky space and you know that everyone's nervous system is on overdrive, yeah, it takes a lot of what I'm finding is just really looking at the person in front of me and listening to their humanity. And then finding ways to move forward in ways that don't impale us both.
That's beautiful. What I've started to realize, again, I'm in my luteal phase, so I don't have as much capacity this week specifically to
Yeah.
extend it, but and I have the beautiful gift of clairsentience. So I already know if the person in front of me can receive or be open or opt into some sort of a go forward conversation. And if they're not, and if I'm in luteal, I'm just going to remove my energy.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if I were in my ovulational follicular, I may lean in and say, help me understand you. I'd love to hear more. It always gets to be your choice. So, like, I love what you said, going inward and checking in with your energy to say, do I have space for this? And also, do I want to? Because it doesn't have to be anything good or bad, right or wrong. And again, I'm in my feisty phase. So, like, I don't have as much space and compassion this moment, but normally, or typically, I do.
Yeah, and giving yourself the grace to hold that space for yourself is the best decision you can possibly make.
I finally trust her, and
Yeah.
that's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah,
So
beautiful.
we've both been in that place where we've tried to be the change, and it's been extremely disruptive to our peace. One of the things that is starting to bug me, and that is at a fever pitch right now, is that just like DEI, we're like, we need more mental health support or more programming in the workplace, and we're just slapping more on top of the systems that in a year or two are going to be the same like DEI. That's bugging me. I'm not suggesting this is you, but like you do menopause consulting. So it's like, I want your professional thoughts. If you go into a workplace that is strictly relying on the systems from 100 years ago or more, how on earth is this ever going to stick? What you're bringing in from a soul space, from a divine feminine space, or do you even not have those? Like, do you sense like who, how?
Yeah, I totally get what you're asking. And the very honest answer is I don't know. This is new-ish work. There's not a lot of workplaces in North America that are engaging in this. So we are at the beginning. That said, I come to organizations with a menopause lens. However, from my perspective, the most important thing I share with them actually is a communication strategy. So that it's not actually something that we're layering on top of, but it is sort of a subversive way of getting to the underpinnings of the culture that you are working in. So, as an example of what I teach, it actually comes from the Ontario kindergarten curriculum. So it also
Mean,
is like,
bring it back to basics, right?
yeah, absolutely. So the way it starts is acknowledging. Or naming, acknowledging, and then asking for help. So, where we name in a really clear example, if I wake up in the morning and I have a raging hormone headache and it is actually getting in the way of my ability to think, to recall words, is amping up my brain fog. Usually, what we do is either, like take some medication or push through. And they're like, nah, pushing through this, I'm doing this day no matter what. My perspective is this. No, we name it. We say, I have this headache today. This is how I know it is going to impact my day. So then that's where I acknowledge it instead of ignoring it. Say, this is what's going to happen.
May I ask a question on that? And
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel like I'm poking holes in your work. So tell me if you feel I'm doing that. I
No.
really want to learn from you. I love that first step. And what about the non-menstruators who are like, don't you dare tell me that you have a hormone headache? Like, for instance, if I were to say in the workplace to my boss who's a non-menstruator or a patriarchal menstruator who only feels safe in like a box, and they have an adverse reaction. Do you also encourage them to name it? I feel unsafe when you talk about your hormone headaches.
So that's something I hadn't thought about. So what I do is that this communication strategy is not just for menstruators. It is for everyone in the organization. So we do actually practice. So we have a non-menstruator who that day, whatever their issue is, like everybody is coming with something, right? Whether it's back pain, whether it is a stressful drop off of a kid, everybody is coming with something. So instead of all of us pretending that we are fine, we come in and are honest and say, so this is my thing today. This is how you might see it play out in me today. This is a safe way that we can talk about that. And this is where I might need some help.
Oh, I love that because you're not making anybody wrong.
Correct. Absolutely. And so the goal of this work actually is to make it a safe space for everyone. Which is not just good for the humans, it's good for the organization in general because we know what happens to humans when they continually just push through and ignore. When we look at burnout rates, it's evident. Coming out of the education world, when we look at teacher burnout rates and people leaving the profession, also, when I finished my menopause coaching certification, at about the same time, there was a report that came out from the Menopause Foundation of Canada, and there are very similar statistics in the US now, that 1 in 10 women are leaving the workforce at the peak of their careers because of unsupported menopause and perimenopause symptoms. So when we start looking at the impact that this is having on the workforce, on organizations, and the humans who are having the experience, this is something that needs to be solved. And these systems in place that make room for everyone to acknowledge how they're feeling and how they can actually help each other makes a large scale difference.
Some are very unabashed. They're like, we don't want menopausal women in our workplace.
Yeah, which is such deficit thinking because, menopausal women are generally wisdom keepers in an organization, right? Like, I think about when I walked out the door of my organization, I took with me all of my own independent education, 20 years of experience of working up and down our system. Like I knew it from top to bottom. I took with me all of the professional development that had been provided to me, and I took 20 years of institutional knowledge. And that is unreplaceable, right? That level of knowing what has happened, what is happening, and how that leads to what will happen, or what could happen, or what needs to change is significant. And so when you have those wisdom keepers walking out the door, it is a huge loss for any organization. And it's shifting people's thinking so that they are able to recognize that and be like, oh,
It's like,
right.
oh, they all are left looking at each other like, oh, we're not relevant to any new consumers. It has to hit money for those types of folks to feel it. Lisa, what moves are you excited to be making right now?
Well, I mean, there's some big moves happening in my life, I think actually moving. And then also working with some organizations. I just was collaborating this morning with a teaching federation to go in and do work with 30 educators. And that is really exciting to me because I still deeply care about the humans who are doing that work. And so being able to go back in this capacity, in a healing capacity, is one, it is healing for myself to heal some of that workplace trauma that I have, but also to be able to create better spaces and actual skills for menstruators in those spaces to be able to make a really informed choice. Because sometimes exiting the workforce or exiting the career that you have is actually the right choice. It's the right answer. It was for me, but it's not for everyone. So it's really giving women the knowledge that they need to make fully informed decisions about their body and how that body plays out in the rest of their lives.
Beautiful segue into a post that you made recently that really hit home for me, and I'll share more why. You have Tip Tuesday alerts. Think HRT is a magical pill for menopause? Think again. While HRT or hormone replacement therapy can be a powerful part of your treatment plan, it's not a cure-all. The real magic happens when you combine it with love and care for your whole self. Here's the scoop. Stress management, quality sleep, balanced nutrition, and regular movement are your secret weapons to reclaiming your vitality during menopause and perimenopause. In my work as a life coach, no matter what you're feeling inside, it's all energy. Everything's energy. Energy is everything. And so I do hold sacred ceremonies for the womb space because what I know to be true is in our second chakra, our sacral chakra, we hold in our second chakra any experiences from this life, whether it be through our menstruation, any loss or any trouble with fertility, any judgment, shame, pain, heading into perimenopause, menopause, hysterectomies, anything like that, but also from our lineage, our mom, grandmas, great grandmas. So womb healing is a really big part of my practice of healing so we can clear that energy out. And I'm not suggesting that it's the only. And that's what spoke to me about this. HRT is awesome. It's all combined though together. It's all holistic. It's approach of what are you physically feeling, but also energetic feeling. A lot of times what we feel on our physical is like the last stop of energy because that's what gets our attention because it hurts or something
Absolutely.
is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, gosh, menopause care is so multifaceted. And I often describe menopause as it's magic and it's a gift because it calls us back into our bodies. For many of us, many humans on the planet, our bodies have not been the safest places to be. And there's so much distraction in our world that we can easily stay out of them. Right, we can stay in our heads. Menopause, however, is your body's way of demanding your attention. And that's why I really like to position it that way, that symptoms are not things to be conquered or overcome. They are messages from your body saying, this is what needs attention. And menopause hormone therapy is absolutely one of the pillars of treatment. And I also don't want people to think that it's a shortcut or another route of being able to like take this medication and then ignore my body again because it won't be effective. You will continue to get signals from your body saying, we need to pay attention to what's going on in here. When we think about the two sort of hallmarks of perimenopause, they are hot flushes and night sweats, right? Those are the two things that everybody thinks of. And they often are the butt of the joke. Yet those are vasomotor events. It's a big deal, right? It is your veins expanding and contracting. They are cardio events. It is your cardiovascular system way of saying there are big changes in here because estrogen has protective factors for every system in your body. So when those levels start to fluctuate, your cardiovascular system, just sticking with this example, is telling you we don't have the same level of protection that we used to have, and we need to start doing things differently. It's not the end of the story. You know, the number of people who've come to me and said, you know, well, my healthcare practitioner said that's, you know, I'm just getting older. It's just the way it is now. That also is not the right answer. When we start pouring the love and care into ourselves that we have poured into everybody else for all these years, we can heal and have that long-term quality of health that we justly deserve.
Yeah. Earlier this week, I posted on LinkedIn Ode to Luteal Phase. It's like a little poem.
Oh,
And
awesome.
I share with other people, menstruators, non-menstruators, imagine one of your main hormones just leaving your body once a month. Well, and then forever. Imagine, and I don't know if men, if they experience like a loss of testosterone at some point, if they have their own menopause.
Not in the same drastic
But
way
on some
that,
level, yeah.
yes, yeah.
To your point, somewhere along the way, we thought it was entertaining or tropey to like make fun of menstruators that are going through things. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is like a really scary biological, natural function. It's not to be made light of, but we have over
And
time.
we have, and I mean, part of that is not knowing how women's bodies work, right? Like women weren't even included in studies until 1993.
1993.
I was
1993.
16 years old. Like, ha, it still
See,
blows me away.
I actually didn't learn until I stepped out of corporate and started doing this work, like this show, that 93 was the year. I'm like, holy crap. I get real ragey about that. But I also am like,
Oh,
okay.
me too.
And then I'm like, and then my healer comes in and he's like, hey, but isn't it cool that we're talking about it now? You know, so it's again, both.
It is both, and I do feel like it is the work of women of our generation. This is our healing.
Yes.
This is our work. And so that part feels exciting. It feels powerful because the other truth in this is that although women's lifespans tend to be longer, their quality of health is significantly less than our male counterparts because there has been such little understanding of just exactly how estrogen plays out in the body. Estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, right? Like all three of those play an important role in the female body, but nobody understood it. And again, you know, the tropey, difficult woman, it's easy for a patriarchal community to pull that back to like, oh, well, this is just women being difficult, rather than, I wonder what's happening here. Because there's major shifts that are happening in this person that I have always known, that I have always loved. What's going on?
And how cool is it that they have this much power, magic, wisdom, all within that
Yes.
beautiful creation. It's awesome. You know, we're just asking to be understood. We just realized that more women are killed in car crashes because the
Yes.
crash test dummies were only based on a male's body. And then also, we just started testing tampons and period products with blood rather than water. Just that kind of like stuff. Recently, a guest of the show, she created a brand new line of underwear because the average vulva is 2.5 and the average width of underwear was 1.5. So, like, we were just walking around not having underwear fit us. It's just like
Yeah.
that stuff.
It is all of those things. I listened to that episode and
Oh,
I was like cheering her on and also having that thought of, Why did it take us this long to say, like, I don't actually have to accept things that are uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
When I think about coming of age and the, oh, well, yeah, that's just the way underwear are. They just creep up your butt. They just don't fit right. Because the story for us was just fit into what is.
Yeah.
Just be small and be quiet and fit into what is. And
Yeah.
so I am so impressed by that woman who
She.
is saying, not anymore. You're going
Yeah.
to make underwear that actually fit. Like, how brilliant! How
She's
brilliant is that?
brilliant Gen Z founder who's doing this off the side of her desk of her full-time job because the costs of manufacturing are so high. It's like, all right, VCs, come on. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I want to like get an investor crew together for her. It is brilliant.
Absolutely. It's also that intergenerational thing that I think is so important because my own children are, my oldest will be 20 in January. My youngest is almost 18. So they are very much Gen Z. And I have loved watching the way they are coming into this world in such a different way. And it's so inspiring to learn from them. And also, we still have responsibility to be a leadership. Like when people say, the kids will save the world. I'm like, that's a cop out. We want to make space for them to make change, but we don't abandon them either. We all have to be part of this change. And what I'm really proud of Gen X women is this wave of standing up and saying, we're not going to go into this dark night quietly. We are going to make change now so that those coming behind us don't have to do this work and we'll have a better experience.
You see beautiful evolution actually happening. There's like a big five generations in the workplace right now, and you can see it. So I'm an elder millennial, and so I did subscribe to the systems probably for the first 40 years of my life. This is relatively new for me, and it's like, oh wait, not only did I outgrow those systems, I'm actually on the forefront of bringing the intergenerational conversation of how the world needs to catch up with how far we've advanced and like left a lot of people behind. I feel like it just got younger and younger to where Gen Z came out swinging and like they're here to fuck shit up. And also what pisses off the older generations because they feel like Gen Z's not listening or wishing to learn how we did it. It's again, it's an and. It's like, okay, let's learn some things so that the world doesn't come crashing down. And let's also all get in a room and say, like, how does this work for alpha? Alpha's right but behind Z. So it's like, it's not working for, I would say, the bulk of the people on this planet right now. So can we talk about that?
Yes, and it's the leaning into the conversation and being willing to learn from each other, right? Like my podcast is called Transforming 45 because it took me until I was 45 years old to say like, oh shit.
I was 40. I said, oh shit.
Yeah, at the end of my formal teaching career, I was having this conversation with other educators who were really frustrated by late millennial, very early Gen Z who were coming into the teaching place. And they were saying no to things, and they were not just accepting the way things are. And I remember the circle of teachers who were all like, can you believe they're not doing this, this, and this? And I was like, well, how did that serve us? How did us abandoning ourselves for all of these years, where has that gotten us? And I was met with a lot of silence. And that's a really concrete example of where learning from each other is important. Like, yes, we need to start saying no to things. We need to value ourselves enough to ask for what we actually need. And then there are things that they can learn from us as well. So it is dialogue that needs to happen. And with this world of dichotomy that we live in right now, it makes it challenging. That's the skill that we all need to get back to and to practice is how to be in dialogue with each other, to agree, to disagree, to push each other's thinking without being offended, with knowing that it is actually in all of our best interest to test our thoughts and theories and see, like, is this actually good for everyone? Absolutely. Think of that you weren't taught.
And here's a shout out to any traditionalists, boomers, X, millennial, any person in charge that feels compelled to tell a Gen Z, you can't say that in the workplace. Challenge yourself. Is that true and why not? Before you go to
Absolutely.
Etsy and school them on something. And it can also be, it can be like, hey there, I love how you're showing up. And just so you know, X, Y, or Z leadership will take this as a negative. I don't know what it looks like.
I also think about approaching it from a place of curiosity and then saying, like, tell me about why you said that. Tell me about why you think that. Because that's where you're getting to. They said it for a reason. There is something that they are trying to express that you are not hearing in whatever string of words they said.
I like that.
Yeah. So ask.
I've unfortunately heard from Gen Z that it's more about they've been told to tamper down themselves because, like, the older white men aren't comfortable.
Oh, of course.
Or, like, you'll never get promoted if you act like that or say that. And we've all had that. I had that as a woman for 20 years in corporate leadership. So we have that element of it. And that's who I'm talking to. Don't you dare say to a younger person or like someone expressing their unique brilliance, don't you dare say, don't do that here. We need all of us to come along.
Yes. There is some warrior energy in the menopause movement.
It's needed,
Right.
right? We're supposed to be good little girls and mind our P's and Q's. Fuck that.
Yeah,
I'm done with that.
absolutely. Part of it is absolutely, it's going to feel uncomfortable for some time because we have been so covered in cloaks of shame. You know, I was thinking about what you were talking about having your tampon in your hand, or even just walking out of the grocery store holding a bag of pads. Because I'd forgotten my reusable bag in the car. And so I'm walking out just holding the bag of pads. And the amount of energy that was going into, like, oh my God, what are people going to think? You know, pushing through that anyway. But the layers and layers and layers of shame that we carry around our basic biology is fucking insane.
It's insane. And that's where I love that you just expressed that and shared that because it pisses me off. And I like to understand the origin of where something has perpetuated over, let's say, 100 years. And so a traditionalist or a boomer person might be listening right now that is saying, like, if I said those things, I would be like struck over the head. We don't know. So it's like understanding and having compassion. I'm mad that we like have to hide a biological function, but also have space for how we got there. And that's what we're talking about. It's meeting everybody where they are. That beautiful intergenerational roundtable. Let's have it.
Yeah. So my mom died when she was 52, and I'm an only child. So I didn't even have her to ask about this process. But her mom, my grandmother, is still alive, and she's just about to be 93. And when I started this work, I asked her, I said, tell me about, you know, your empty nest and what was your menopause experience like? And she said, well, no one's ever asked me that before. And I was like, okay, well, tell me. And she was like, yeah, that time was really hard. And she talked about her own experience and how lonely she felt. And like all of the same things that I am experiencing, she experienced, but in a time where there was no conversation about it, that no one even asked her until she was in her 90s. So I am also always very cautious about acknowledging that the generations who came before us, they had their thing. Every generation before us has had their thing that they have moved the needle on, that they have moved forward. And it's because of that work that we are now able to do this work. And because of the work that we are doing, Gen Z and Alpha, they will be able to move even further. And you're right, paying attention to and making space for women, and even what that brings up in that there was a generation who had all of these same experiences, but had to do it in silence. And then looking back and seeing us saying, no, that's not how we're going to be. Like that also is dysregulating for nervous systems.
Yes, no matter who you are, that's such a humanizing way to put it. When there's backlash, that person's nervous system is dysregulated right now.
Yes.
It's a neutralizer. It's like, oh, wait, okay. We're all just walking around with dysregulated nervous systems at any given time. So being very empathetic to that. So having these, it's more than a support, not ever feeling alone.
And then, going back to what you're saying about community, like that is, it's the power of coven, of being together in that space and knowing that each of us brings our unique gift, brilliance, wisdom to that. And that is what makes it powerful. It's not that we are all the same or have to all be the same in that space. It's actually that we bring something different. And there's so much need for that kind of community, for ritual, for celebration. One of the things I really want to do is start some menopause rituals and celebrations so that we can come together, have that ritual time and celebrate this time. Because one of the other terms other than the change that is used to describe this time is second spring, which I love. It is this time of renewal because so often people look at this as the end, that this is the end. And there is so much vibrancy and color that can come back to our world at this time. And I really think it's important to position it that way because so many people feel like this is the end of my story and are even afraid to talk about it because it's linked to aging, because it's linked to getting older. So it's that reminder of actually, this is a whole new time for us to be completely new beings in our own way.
So, Lisa, as we start to wind down, what would you say to the people who have been listening that get it and they're like, hell yes? And what would you also say to the people that just don't get it and they're like, hard no, this doesn't belong?
So I think just actually what you just said. So for those people who don't get it, it's the like, why? I need to sit with this and just approaching it from a place of curiosity. What is being lit up inside you in a really uncomfortable way when you hear this conversation? And just sit with it and let it be and listen rather than constantly trying to like do that outward projection of this is all of the reasons why I blah, 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 whatever comes after that. And for those who do get it, great. Welcome to the revolution. We're so glad to have you. No matter who you are, what age you are, what part of the rainbow you represent, you are welcome here because it will take all of us to make this change that is supportive of humans' long-term wellness.
Lisa, where can we find you?
Gosh, everywhere. Instagram is one of the easiest ways. So at L Boat, and my website is liberatedmenopause.ca. And then all of my contact information is there.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
Take the time to listen to your body. Really come back to it. Feel into what you are feeling, be it emotional, be it physical, be it spiritual, be it mindful. Sit with it. And that is how you move forward in a way that is a good way for you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.